The following program is rated M for a mature audience.
Oh,
it contains coarse language.
Fuck yeah, it does.
Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Like a smooth criminal. Coming into your life.
You've been hit by, you've been struck by Nate Darling.
Nice, I like that.
If you've been struck by Nate Darling, call us at 1-800.
Yeah, by the way,
Nate Darling show got me $2.1 million.
If you've been struck by Nate Darling, you probably had it coming.
Oh.
Jackass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? So much violence.
Maybe normally it's verbal.
Have you ever been in a fist fight?
Yes. I'm a man. Of course I've been in a fist fight.
Oh, shit. I'm not a man, apparently.
I'm not either.
Unless being a little kid and getting a fist count.
Thanks, Becca. Oh, well, if you were in a fist fight as a kid, that counts, Ted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Fuck that.
Yeah. That's all. It's all part
testicles
of becoming a man.
Testicles and a penis and fights. Chest hair. Burps. Oh, man, baby.
Hey, you know, we waited to the end of the show last time to do this, but I want to do it right out of the gate because
small town news.
I love Amazon.com.
Oh.
Amazon.com is a fantastic online retailer. You can get almost anything there. And
Amazon.
Here's the other thing. I'm sort of jaded a little bit because Amazon helps us support this show, helps defray the costs of getting this show.
Why would that make you jaded?
Out to you. Every week, this on-demand radio show or podcast, if you prefer,
for the layman.
It's
wait, is that? I don't know. If that's layman.
I don't think it is.
It's lame, but go ahead.
Amazon helps us out, and you can help us out too. If you're going to shop Amazon, I'm not telling you. If you're the shop local person and you only want to go to thrift stores and buy stuff from stores that are run by Ma and Pa, go ahead and do that. But if you're going to shop at Amazon, please. Go to our website, natedarlingshow.com first. Click the Shop Amazon tab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'll throw you right to Amazon.
Pretty
and then
cool.
Carry on, wayward son, as you would. Buy to your heart's content.
I did that today.
Oh.
Nice. I got myself a new cell phone cover.
Wow.
Ooh.
Fancy.
I'm super excited because it is girly as shit.
Oh.
Did it cost you $35 like it would at a mall kiosk?
It did not.
Exactly.
Wow,
that's why I waited. And the guy at the store when I bought my phone was sort of like, you sure you don't want this? Amazon, what are you talking about? And I was like,
I've never heard of this.
I'm going to support the Nate Darling show.
Yeah, Amazon.
And then he said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I need your credit card still.
Aw.
He would if you do what I do when I go into any cell phone store. I go to the tablets and go immediately to our website.
Smart.
And
really?
Oh, yeah. I'll do that at the Apple store, too.
Good job.
I'll go to the iTunes, at the Apple store, all the computers. Boom. Pull it up. Pull it up. Did it at Best Buy, too.
Awesome.
Hey, we'll take listeners wherever we can get them because we're spreading mirth and mayhem. Well, mostly.
Do those go together?
Sometimes.
Well, mirthful mayhem.
Mm-hmm. It's why the Vikings did so well. So,
Mirtham.
Yay.
Okay.
Anyway, that's it. It's Friday. It's craziness.
Yay.
Hey, by the way, I want to remind everybody too that Monday, the day after the Super Bowl, is the debut of the Well Hung podcast.
Woo.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. No, we recorded it 2 days ago.
The podcast aired 2 days ago. Today we're recording.
It was recorded.
Oh,
yeah. It's the brainchild of Diana Hong, our friend and myself. We'll be bringing you wonderful bits of. Let me call up the whole thing for you right now. We talked about it last week on the show, but because we're sort of finalizing things as we go through, and. We were going to be reaching into the well of life to bring you the gems of the week from news to pop culture. How about that?
The well of
the
life
well
for
of
gems?
Life.
That's I don't know
I
what
don't
that
work
is.
Out that metaphor, but okay.
Yeah, well, it's the Well Hung podcast.
Right, the well of life in which the gems reside.
Mm-hmm.
I like gems.
The gems are cool.
Who doesn't? So that's
going to truly outrageous.
That's going to debut on Monday, and it will be every Monday. So we will have entertainment, free entertainment for you. 3 days a week, every week. The least you can do is shop Amazon through natedarlingshow.com. That's all we ask.
That's the least.
Mm-hmm. So here in Sacramento, a few months ago, the McCormick and Schmick's closed down, and the multinational conglomerate that runs them put in a Claim Jumper restaurant, which is now open.
I saw that.
I went.
Oh.
Rude. Didn't invite us. It's fine.
Well, it was.
Whatever.
he had a thing.
It was a
dead
thing
to me.
It was a thing for work, actually.
Oh, for work.
Still rude. I don't care.
I didn't pay. Here's what I will say. I don't know if all the Claim Jumpers have chandeliers made of deer antlers, but I like it.
I think they do.
Chandeliers.
I like it.
Okay.
It's a pun I like.
Oh, good.
It's
a portmanteau.
It's a really the thing about the Claim Jumper is I think they probably
they're fake, Becca. They're fake.
Okay.
they're gonna be like cast representations of it. It's okay. It's all right. They're not real.
The place is really nice. The interior is done up very nice, and we had a booth that looked out onto J Street, which is phenomenal any time of the day.
J Street.
When you can see the scurry of life going by you on J Street in downtown Sacramento. Uh-huh.
What did you have?
I had a bacon cheeseburger, which was very good.
Was it huge? I don't know why I assumed that Claim Jumper had giant portions. They do.
They do.
That's kind of their thing.
It was a really large burger, and the burger was really good. Their fries, though, are weird. Their fries are very strange because think of like onion strings.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now imagine they did that with a potato.
So like super skinny.
That sounds delicious. Yeah. I like that.
Super skinny, very crunchy, and a lot of salt and pepper fused onto each one.
Pepper.
Which is a little bit much for my taste buds, but I can see where people who like that would like that. And the amount of fries, I would guess, would be the equivalent of a bag of potatoes just on my tray. I got maybe through a quarter of them.
Wow.
And before I tapped out. But the service was good. The food was good. And if you're down for that sort of thing, it's a decent restaurant.
Would you go back if you were paying yourself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd go back if I were paying. Because there are some other things on the menu that I would try.
Do they still garnish with a whole apple? That used to be their thing. It's like the garnish on the plate would be an entire apple.
No. I did
that
not
seems wasteful.
I did not
yeah,
see
it
that.
Yeah, it is wasteful. I don't think they do anymore. Because they used to be, Claim Jumper didn't used to be owned by whatever the name of the
multinational restaurant.
Yeah,
Inc.
That's it. It didn't used to be owned by that conglomerate. And I liked it better before. They kind of neutered it a little bit. And they took away the really good dessert. They used to have this like caramel apple cheesecake thing. It was amazing. Mm.
They had a lot of desserts there. The
mother load. The like 10-layer chocolate cake.
Right. I saw that on the menu. Yeah. But the problem is the portions are so big, there was no way in hell I was going to have any room for dessert.
Mm-mm.
But it was good. It's worth checking out. It's a little bit pricier than, say, your Chili's. And it's a chain restaurant, so it is that. There are other better options if you're in Sacramento, but it's not a bad place.
I went to their website to see if they had anything vegetarian or gluten-free, and they do have something vegetarian.
What is it?
I don't know yet. I haven't gotten that far.
Okay.
They just have this own section for vegetarian
salads.
They have a giant menu, I think.
Oh,
they have
yeah.
They have like, it's one of those, this is too much. Like a Cheesecake Factory. Like, why do you need it to be that big?
Yes.
The Cheesecake Factory has a gigantic menu, and there's still only like one thing on there I can eat.
I would say the comparison with the Cheesecake Factory is very apt in terms of type of restaurant, portion size, price point for things and stuff like that. So it's not bad. I'm glad. Here's what I will say. I'm glad that unlike Pyramid Brewing, who left Sacramento and left us with a big empty building on a corner.
Yeah, I missed that.
They closed down McCormick and Schmick's and immediately went to work to put in the Claim Jumper to get that back up and running so that we don't have another big empty restaurant on a corner in Sacramento. So I do appreciate that. One cool thing, I was on Facebook, and New Helvetia Brewery, which is down on Broadway, not far from the old Sacramento Comedy Spot,
mm-hmm.
They put something on Facebook. They will fill growlers. Now, they said right now they can only do the 64-ounce kind, not the 32-ounce kind, which I understand. They will fill growlers from other breweries, which is brilliant. Because most people don't. They go, you fill our growler. But they apparently are like, oh, yeah, bring in your growler. We'll fill it with our beer. And I think what they're doing from the pictures I saw, I didn't read a lot of it, but I think what they do when you bring in the other growler is they put their big old New Helvetia sticker over your growler, which is awesome because I've got a couple of pyramid growlers, and I don't want to throw them away because they're still good, but I don't want to support Pyramid Brewery anymore. Their beer, not good enough for me to support them after they pulled out of Sacramento. So eat it, Pyramid.
Nueva Vista Brewing is awesome. When they had the One Book Sacramento this year, and it was an Edgar Allan Poe anthology, they brewed Edgar Allan Porter.
It was awesome.
And served it at the library. I drank beer at the library, and they served it at Edgar Allan Poe prices, like era prices. So it was like a nickel for a beer. It was so much fun. Yeah, so they have my heart forever for that.
I like them. I like Track 7 Brewing, which is down. It's near Sacramento City College. If you're in town, they're pretty good. And apparently, Der Beer Garten is getting close to being ready to open. I had no idea it would take so long to open Der Beer Garten, which is essentially...
It's open, I think, because I have a friend who's already been like... just beer snobbing all over their offerings, and just I was watching this whole beer snob like discussion on his Facebook post about like, well, they should have this and that, or if they just think they can get away with that, well, I mean, customers will tell them what. And I'm just like,
no, they won't.
Know.
Yes, you will.
And I just read there's a new pub, like a I guess a British pub, going in on N Street, I think. So we're getting a number of like high end brew options.
The best Brit pub, this is according to my husband, so we're gonna go with him as an expert,
and I think I know because I think I saw this on Facebook.
Yes, probably. So last weekend we went to mass and parked in between the church we go to and Bonlaire pub.
They're celebrating their 20th anniversary.
Were celebrating all weekend, and I thought it would be busy. It wasn't busy. When we granted, we were there kind of, well, we were there like noon, not so early in the day. But they had a big tent up out back and a band and stuff, which hadn't really filled out. But inside that pub, it absolutely feels exactly like an average pub in England. And you can't, like, Streets does not get it. Streets is not bad, but it does not capture.
It's
their food's atrocious. I won't even talk about their food. But
and it's certainly not cramped up like I would expect. The only British pubs I've been to that seemed authentic, aside from that one, I've been to ones in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Where they've got, I remember the first time I went, I'm like, how do people sit in those booths?
Bonlaire is just very like, it ticks all the right boxes.
Well, I just read this article. They had a big article in the News and Review about the 20th anniversary of Bonlaire, and they talked about how they got the interior of the pub, which was that a very wealthy lady in Sacramento ordered it from England, ordered a pub dismantled and brought over here that she was going to put up in her house. And then when it got all the way over here, her house wasn't big enough for this pub that she'd ordered.
What?
And so she just put an ad in the Sacramento Bee, like, pub interior for sale, and that guy had always dreamed about having a British style pub, and he was just looking through the Bee and he was like, what, an entire pub like ready to go? And so he bought it, and ta-da, Bonlaire.
How do you order an entire pub and not even know whether it fits in your house?
I know,
not?
Isn't that crazy? You
got a lot of money, miss.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Congratulations.
Come on, haven't we all had that moment where you're like, you click buy and you're like, I don't know, what's the return policy? So
they sell pubs on amazon.com.
Have you never bought a piece of furniture, Ted, and you're like, oh yeah, this'll be fine, this will fit, and then you spend the next 3 hours trying to get the couch in through the door?
I don't think that's really happened to me.
Pivot.
I tend to measure before I put furniture in, so if I bought a whole room, I'd make sure it would fit.
I did that a lot when I was living in San Francisco, because the place that I lived, I referred to as the Ship in the Bottle house, because it was built behind, I lived in the Inner Sunset, and the front building was a typical sort of like garage on street level, and then two flats, so three-story house, whatever. And then it had this long breezeway the entire length of the house. And in the backyard was like a magical small four-bedroom Victorian.
Wow.
But you had to get everything in through a, you know, 3.5 foot by like 30-foot breezeway.
Wow.
We referred to that as the date rape corridor, because it just seemed, or the rape me tunnel, because it really seemed like a bad idea. It was really hard to get everything in and out of that house.
Was this in the Tenderloin?
No, it was in the Sunset.
Okay, I thought you lived in a weird, crappy part of SF once.
I did, and then I got the F out of there and moved into lovely back house Victorian.
Rape tunnel.
With a rape tunnel. So.
Well, that's always important.
Yeah.
So this week, we watched another movie for the Netflix Flick of the Week.
Woo, flick.
And this was Christiana's choice.
It was. I picked. Okay, first of all, I'm going to say it again because I wasn't here to. I don't know if I said it the first time. I hate Netflix search interface.
Yes.
It is the worst thing ever. If anybody from Netflix happens to be listening, fix that shit.
It's horrible.
It is the worst thing ever. It's only showing me like something. I know it's got more, but if I don't know what to search for, like you can't just search alphabetically or you can't just. Horrible. I hate it. It's the worst.
Fix it.
It brings me down.
Jerks.
I love their browse though. I love their browse far more than their search.
But their browse only shows. Though that's what I hate is the browse too, because you can only kind of browse what they kind of give you to choose from to browse in. And anyway, so
it's not what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I picked Howard Hawks' 1940 classic, His Girl Friday, which was good. And I think my main takeaway from it was if they actually scripted all that out, it must have been like a 10,000 page script, because there's more words per minute in this movie than in probably anything else you'd see, except like a particularly fast paced West Wing episode. But I think there was a lot of improv in it actually as well. Based on the scant bit of reading I did.
Here's the description of the movie. Hildy Johnson, who's played by Rosalind Russell, is about to get hitched to a dull insurance agent, Bruce Baldwin, played by Ralph Bellamy. That's if her ex-husband, ruthless newspaper publisher Walter Burns, Cary Grant, doesn't succeed in winning her back in a battle of the sexist screwball comedy. Meanwhile, reporters salivating for the scoop on a local voting conspiracy is just a minor distraction as Burns pulls out all the stops for the woman he loves. By the way, it's not a voting conspiracy at all. It's a guy who's accused of shooting a cop.
Yeah.
Because there's voting behind it. They want to put him to death so they can get the votes they need to win re-election.
Oh. Yeah.
Political intrigue.
I would go with more a guy who didn't shoot a guy. I mean, he
was a political pawn.
I think the star of this movie is her hat. Or her collection of hats, because they're quite jaunty.
They are. There are jaunty hats throughout this film. And a lot of jaunty stripes.
Oh, God, yeah. It was some craziness.
I approve.
What did you guys think of the movie?
I enjoyed it. I liked it. I mean, it was cool to see this strong female character in this, obviously, a very boys' club, old school journalism with all these men in the press room doing their thing, and she's kind of having to keep up with them. And she insisted she's a paper man or a journalism man or reporter man, like she calls herself that.
Newspaper man.
Excuse me. Yeah. So I thought that was fun. It's just interesting to see that struggle, the gender struggle going on in that.
Journalism man.
So I don't know how true to reality it was, because obviously it was a comedy and it was a little over the top. But it was interesting to see her holding her own in that little circle. I liked it.
What about you, Becca?
I definitely appreciated her character a lot. And I think also, without meaning to, now what have we watched? Three movies, and two of them have been like newspaper dramas where someone's life is on the line and they're in the newsroom and they're writing yards and they're going to get the scoop. See? And like, as you know, Ted and I both being journalists at the like totally last gasp of the newspaper industry, where everything is kind of, newspapers are like almost passe at this point. They're sort of just the large print thing that the seniors read. I mean, I get the newspaper and I work for the newspaper, but
for coupons we get
to
it.
Kind of see that, like, Hollywood was like, we got to set this in the newspaper because that's so interesting. And these people are like, we have to, it's my life or death. I've got to bribe my way in and get this interview and get it in the paper by 5 o'clock so this man doesn't die in the gallows. You know, like it's so much more exciting than anything I'm used to. So I appreciate that.
Well, you kind of have to make movies more exciting than the real life atmosphere, because even the most exciting job has incredibly dull stretches no matter what you're doing. I watched the movie. I enjoyed it once I get past making fun of the patter of the speech. And
what are you trying to say? It was perfectly natural.
What are you talking about?
All right.
I will say this about every character in this film. I hated all of them.
They're all terrible people.
They're all just so fucking awful.
That's true.
They are all awful. That being said, I think the movie had some very cool parts to it. I think they built the intrigue very well. I'm not sure about the premise. And again, this is sort of a time of the movie sort of thing, because her whole thing at the beginning was she was going to go and move to Albany, New York to marry this insurance agent.
And have babies.
And have babies because she wants to be a woman, be a real woman, as she put it in the film. I will say this. If I moved to Albany, New York, I would want to kill myself too. That's where they hooked me in because they were Cary Grant's like Albany, blah 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 blah. I'm like,
state capitals are bullshit. Wait,
preach it. No. Albany is bullshit.
No.
Albany, New York sucks.
I want to visit it now.
It's a turd encased in an icicle that someone has sprinkled dirt on. It's
dirt covered turdicle.
Yes.
All right.
It is awful.
No. Field trip, guys.
Go ahead.
Prove Nate wrong.
Go visit the egg, their claim to awesomeness. The egg. The fucking egg!
Is it a real egg?
No.
We're all confused. We don't know what this is.
It's a building called the egg.
Is it shaped like an egg?
Sort of.
That's amazing. Let's go.
The thing about this movie was I think you were supposed to be like, oh, who is she going to end up with? But you kind of didn't want her to end up with either one of them.
Right, because if she ends up with one...
I was rooting for the guy from Pretty Woman and Trading Places.
And by the way, the mother-in-law, what a horrible harpy bitch.
Yeah.
There was just so much bad stuff going on. The only person I was rooting for was the guy who was going to be killed.
As screwball comedies go, it was sort of less screwy comedy than... The problem with this assignment format is that I'd much rather suggest movies that like maybe I've seen and nobody else has seen to like share something where I kind of know than
oh, but I
not.
Love I love the mystery of the whole thing because
I guess
a bat.
I find this all tremendously stressful. I just have to say all of it. Not no, it's
finding
catching up
time?
With the assignment. Yeah, finding the time and it's just like it's a bad time of year. And then I hear myself and I'm just like, oh, you can't find fucking 2 hours in your life. Oh, you big important person. But no, it's more. I'm just like tired.
This was an hour 31.
Well, yeah, but we
longer.
Started it Saturday night at like 9.
It seemed
by
longer.
9:15, I was out. Like, that was it. Not the movie's fault. I was just done.
No, confession. So, I didn't see the last 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I fell asleep.
It's just hard.
We won't spoil it for you.
Rebecca can't spoil it.
What?
The ending?
No. Well, I'm saying we're not going to spoil it for Becca.
Okay. Well,
or anybody else,
she
really.
What happened. That's true.
You know, it was a good movie. It's very much a... I mean, when you're watching movies from 1940, there's going to be a sensibility about them that you're not going to see today. And I think for a 1940s movie, it was probably pretty progressive in terms of female characters.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So too.
Very
yeah.
strong character. Attica, did you... want to see this because you read something about do you know there's a feminist aspect to it at all, Christiana? Or how did you pick
it? I've heard of it. It's one of those movies. It's like, oh, I haven't seen that, but I should.
Okay.
Kind of movies.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
So, and I grew up definitely watching back when AMC was actually like classics and not
stuff
Breaking Bad
80s.
And Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
And stuff from the
80s. Yeah. I used to watch that in like Turner Classic Movies all the time. So there's so many great movies from that era that are not necessarily on Netflix. The one I really wanted to like, lie and say I hadn't seen, but I've seen a ton of times. Probably one of my favorite, like top five movies of all times, is called The Best Years of Their Lives, and it's a post-war, like homecoming World War II story, and it's so good. It's amazing. I have it on DVD. I'd have to lend it to you. It doesn't appear to be available online anywhere, but that's the one I would have picked, and so I was just like, I'm going to pick something else kind of old. Okay,
see,
we'll do this one.
I think it's better that we have to pick movies that none of us have seen, because I know that if I was like, here's a movie that's near and dear to my heart, and then everyone was like, that was a bunch of crap on a stick, I would feel so bad. But this way I just get to be like, well, I didn't know you guys. I don't know. I just, the synopsis seemed okay.
Well, and the best part is you can pick a movie and come back and go, you know what? I picked that movie and it sucked. Because it's dealer's choice. There's no pressure on this. I will say this. When you were pondering it, you were like, well, maybe Birth of a Nation, because that's one people see, and I looked how long it was. I go, hell no.
Yeah, I didn't need 3 hours of racism.
It's a 3+ hour long silent film that's about the Klan.
Well, see, and again, if I was going to pick, well, it wasn't because I wanted to watch a movie about the Klan, but it's a movie that gets talked about so much in cinematic history. It's like, I never watched that. Here's a good excuse to like watch it from an anthropological standpoint or whatever, sociological standpoint.
And I believe my feedback was, I would go with the shortest of your choices.
Right, yeah, which is good. But if I were going to pick silent films that are long and are definitely worth watching, The very first Academy Award winning Best Picture is a silent film called Wings.
Wings.
That, again, I don't think is available anywhere online. And if you search it on Netflix, you're going to get like the TV show Wings, which is not the same thing.
No, it's more awesome.
But it is.
Wings.
It is a fantastic. Yep. Yeah, yeah. And the next choice is like a Disney, Tinkerbell movie.
Yeah, Secret of Wings.
But it's a fantastic film. It is epically watchable. You do not notice that it's a silent film.
I'm sorry. As you scroll down, the fourth option for Wings is Pumpkinhead 2 Blood Wings. Yep.
Oh boy, I haven't seen that one.
After killing an old witch, 16s accidentally resuscitate the demonic Pumpkinhead. Only now, he's propelled by the soul of a murdered boy. Huh?
I know what movie we're going to watch for the next episode, guys.
You better hurry. It's only available until February 1st.
Oh, I had another one, but this has to be the winner. But then we'll have to watch Pumpkinhead 1, or we don't know what's happening.
We won't know what's going on.
Nobody's seen Pumpkinhead 1? Come on, guys.
You have not.
I
have seen Pumpkinhead 1, but I didn't realize there was a part 2.
Ah.
So if we went 1 to 5 stars, what would you give this movie, Ted?
I was going 3.5.
Becca?
I'll say 3.
Christiana?
I don't know. Sure, 3.
Yeah, I would go 3 to 3.5 stars. Ooh. It was 4.
I don't want to watch it all again when I was like fully awake at one time. I wasn't fair to this movie.
Yeah, it was an okay movie. I don't feel like I wasted my time.
No, somebody can pick a Disney movie next time I can watch with my kid. That would be very helpful.
There are some on Netflix, actually. I didn't realize. Like Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Well, we know who our next movie is.
Yes, we do, but do we even reveal that until next
week? We can.
Oh, then people can listen along. I've chosen
Inside Chipotle.
I'm picking Buster Keaton's The General. It is a silent black and white movie, but it's supposed to be very funny, and I want to see what a silent funny movie sounds like. Wait, it doesn't sound like anything, but I still want to see it. So that's what it is.
I've never seen any Buster Keaton, and that seems ridiculous, having spent so much time in comedy, so...
Have you watched Have you watched no silent movies?
I've actually watched one Charlie Chaplin silent film, and it was fun. But I just want to see what Buster Keaton's about.
Yeah,
I went through a whole like silent film and comedy phase, so there was like a lot of Mac and Mabel watching and Chaplin. And
have you seen this one, Christiana?
I haven't seen this one.
Okay, then.
I like it. I dig it. Cool. And then, like Phantom of the Opera.
Mm-hmm.
Not just comedy, but
so here's what you can do if you want to play along with us. Go ahead and watch The General on Netflix and see if you agree with what we say next Friday.
Can they contact us if they want to tell us about
hell yeah
what they think?
Hell yeah, you can email us, you can do whatever. All the information about how to contact us is right on the header on natedarlingshow.com. You can email us, it's natedarlingshow@gmail.com, or you can call the listener line at 818-861-6283 and leave a message.
Do it.
Because there's no one manning the line.
Treat it like Speak Out.
Right.
Treat it like Speak
Out.
Wouldn't it be awesome if people called us and spoke out?
It would be so great.
Bob.
I don't know that it would be.
Oh, it'd be
great.
Tell
us about your lawn and how much people tip and Obama.
Yes, now please. Obama doesn't tip when he has his lawn mowed, probably.
Please tell us about Obama. In great detail.
How about that State of the Union earlier this week, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, wow. I couldn't.
When he said that stuff about the middle class and then about education and then about inequality and then about the economy and then about Obamacare. I was like, wow.
Hardworking Americans.
Yeah. And then that one side stood up and clapped and then the other side didn't. And then I was like, oh, my gosh.
They don't get along as well as you think.
And I couldn't believe the secretary was the one that they made go to a secure location somewhere else.
Well, how'd the response from that Republican guy? I think they threw him out to the wolves.
Right.
He made a fool of himself.
Or a Republican girl. I mean, either way.
Oh.
Who knows?
Could
what? It could be.
I forgot which one it was.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just
already.
So I was so moved by the words that I don't know.
By the way, this has been here's something that's been taking the world by storm this week. I don't know why. It's been on YouTube.
Cats?
Since 2011. It is not cats, but
aww.
It is
slow burn.
It is an animal. Now imagine you've got a camera set up in the woods.
Oh.
And suddenly you see a deer hanging out.
That's the loudest queef I've ever heard.
That is awesome.
Is
because
that a deer fart?
Yes, yeah. It is. It is a deer fart. And
its little tail goes like this.
The deer, and it's a full body action by the deer, too.
They're really pushing that out.
Oh, yeah. Just hanging out, chewing on some leaves.
Mother Nature is so beautiful. So beautiful. So peaceful.
Wow, that's funny that showed up on Facebook.
Ted put one of those on my wall that was a hippopotamus farting, and it was like a hippopotamus shart was what it was. And hippopotamuses are my favorite animal, and so he was sort of like, here's a cute hippo video for you, and I was
oh my god.
And I won her over. It was ridiculous. It was like shooting like little pellets of poo everywhere. His little tail was flicking everywhere. It was just fart.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Hey, pull my finger.
Oh, dear. Sound drop.
So bad.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. Now we move on to a Jezebel article. And you all know how I feel about Jezebel articles.
You love it.
Positively.
Actually, here's one.
You want to make sweet, sweet love to it behind the band room.
You know what? Honestly, I read this article. I saw the headline. And I read it. And I went, you know what? I see what they're getting at.
Oh, what?
I know.
Twist.
It says, dudes, stop putting women in the girlfriend zone.
What does that mean?
Well, I'll explain. Many an internet whine has been wailed over women who, for some ungodly reason, do not reward the men who are nice to them with sex.
Ah, bitches.
It's because girls only do sex with bad boys, reason the complainants, and they're always putting nice guys in the quote-unquote friend zone. A terrible space where the hapless, love-struck nice guys wonder over and over again, why won't this stupid bitch fuck me? I'm such a nice guy. I did the nice, now where's my sex? Now, thankfully, the days of the friend zone may be numbered. Enter the girlfriend zone. A clever way some Redditors have discovered to turn the grating friend zone label on its head. To understand fully what the girlfriend zone is, one must first grasp what the friend zone is. Now, here's the only place this article goes a little bit awry. I know plenty of women who have complained about being put in the friend zone. So it's not...
Sure.
It's
it
not,
goes both ways.
It does go both
yeah,
ways.
It goes both
but
ways.
It is more guys complaining. Here's the Urban Dictionary's definition of friend zone. What you attain after you fail to impress a woman you're attracted to, usually initiated by the woman saying, you're such a good friend, usually associated with long days of suffering and watching your love interest hop from one bad relationship to another. Verb tense is friended. Other crowdsourced definitions don't gloss over the hurt feelings as much, describing the friend zone as a very frustrating and shitty place, and quote, a myth that girls tell their ugly male friends to spare their romantic feelings. Examples of the famously friend-zoned include Ron Weasley, although he eventually escaped, and by escaped we mean tongue-kissed
Hermione.
There
you
go.
Spoiler alerts.
Sorry. Ducky from Pretty in Pink, Toby from The Office, and the dude from Love Actually with the signs who kisses his friend's wife, and we're all supposed to feel good about it. Friend zoning is, in broader terms, something bad that a guy who is not getting laid decides that the woman who won't fuck him is doing. It's an incredibly self-centered and self-pitying way to externalize one's own mistakes or shortcomings, to blame the complex mystery of fickle human attraction on a woman's agency, and makes about as much emotional sense as showing up to pick up your dry cleaning at 3 a.m. and becoming so enraged that they're not open that you throw a brick through the window.
They should be open at 3 a.m., assholes.
It's true.
So what's the girlfriend zone?
Well, it is not when a man is interested in a woman and is disappointed when her interest is not reciprocated. That's normal human way to respond to rejection. It's the word for pinning blame, the pining blame men place on women for their own unrequited feelings, and how some men completely lose interest in women as people once it's clear she's not interested in them sexually.
Aha.
It's something done by a man who was never interested in anything but a sexual relationship in the first place and tried to use faux friendship as a way to achieve sexual ends. Will girlfriend zone get the traction it deserves? No, it won't. It seems like there's a little momentum in spreading the word. Reddit threads where guys lament their inability to level up with a woman they've decided they're perfect for, but just don't know it, are occasionally peppered with fiery responses from women chastising the dudes for projecting things onto their girl friends that their girl friends didn't ask for. But this concept has a much wider application than Reddit. It should be a word at the disposal of any lady who feels guilt-tripped by a male friend who was never really a friend to begin with. It should be the rebuttal for any woman accused of leading someone on for going to lunch with a coworker or by studying for mutual final in a classmate's dorm room or accepting a friend request from a new acquaintance on Facebook. It's the word that women supposedly have needed but have never said. So go ahead and use it with impunity.
It's legit.
I get the sentiment behind it because it does turn it on its head. And the problem is this whole thing comes from places of insecurity and not knowing how to communicate properly and just really not dealing with rejection well.
Yeah.
and understanding that there's a whole wide world of people who want to put their naughty bits with your naughty bits. And just because one doesn't happen to want to, it's okay.
I think it comes from that place of like terrible disappointment, or you have it when, you know, it's like, why does the other person get to make the call here?
Yeah,
I don't know. True. Have you ever had that thought, like when it didn't work out with somebody, you're just like, but I like you. You can't just, why does your word about like, you don't like me as much. Why does that carry the day? It seems like we have two opposing views and either one could be legit. Like, which obviously doesn't make sense when you're not in the throes of like sadness because you've been rejected or whatever. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah, let's debate this for a while. Let me fill out the ledger here for you. It's just kind of unfortunate. And I know guys who've used the term not as like in that angry way, because dudes who use it in the super angry way, like that bitch wouldn't fucking sleep with me or that sort of thing. Usually when I hear any guy friends use the term, it's like, oh, I really liked her, but yeah, I feel like I'm being put in the friend zone. And they're, it's not with a sense of anger. It's more of a resignation to, okay, well, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's not always coming from that place of anger. Although I'm guessing with a lot, as you are talking about younger and younger dudes, it probably is coming from a lot more anger because you learn to deal with your emotions better as you mature, hopefully. Am I right, Ted?
I'm still working on that.
Okay. So, yeah, girlfriend zone. I'm not going to read the... I will read one comment because it's from someone named Aaron with an E. Blues Bell. The term doesn't seem like the best to me, but not coming up with anything better. I remember one guy who I thought was my friend. We went out for happy hour at least 6 months with no hinting of anything other than friendship. Then suddenly he's trying to stick his tongue down my mouth. Actually, it's down your throat, but okay. When I'm not amused, he gets enraged. What did I think we were doing all these months, if not a prelude to sex? By the way, if it's been 6 months and you haven't had sex, you're not going to get sex. Just saying.
Yeah, 6 months of happy hours with no moves, that doesn't seem like a green light to me.
You have to up that to dinner, like after the happy hour, like let's go get dinner or let's get a movie. You can't just let it go at happy hour.
Yeah. Or they're
too slow a burn, buddy.
Yeah, so... She wasn't giving him the signals.
I had a guy once who got really mad at me because I had talked or I made the mistake of, you know, let's still be friends, even though we never were friends to begin with. So like sometimes in relationships you can go back to being friends, but if you weren't, it's not going to happen. And he got mad because I was going to visit the person I was dating at the time. And he was like, you never made time to visit me. And I'd be like, well... Don't make me say out loud, but it's probably because I wasn't that into you, which is why we're no longer still together, and I'm not sure why this is a thing now. Shouldn't be a thing. It's awkward. Do you really want me to answer the question? I'll answer the question.
It's so hard, though, when teenagers and even people in their early 20s.
Not a teenager.
No. But it is awkward, and some people are still emotionally teenagers when they're much older for a variety of reasons. But
it's true.
Don't be a dick. Let me go back to my Australian friend and say, don't be a dick. That's the
life lesson.
Don't be a dick.
It's weird as a female too, that I don't know. I've had this experience a few times where it's like, you're a single lady and you think you have a lot of friends that are guys. And then you get a boyfriend and you lose a bunch of guy friends. And then you're like, oh,
yeah.
I thought you were my friends. But
oopsies.
Oh. So I guess I do know what it's like to be girlfriend zoned when you don't really think that you are.
Well, I mean, there's different levels. I mean, there's a bunch of guys who are probably just sort of hanging around going, well, I don't know. She doesn't have a boyfriend. Let's see what happens. Maybe there'll be magic. Oh, she has a boyfriend. Moving on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of lame, though.
Like, no, these aren't, I mean, like friends, not just people that are in the, you know, kind of floating in the, you know, in the peripheral, but, you know, well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes it surprises you. Sometimes you think you really do have a friend.
Yeah.
But then you don't.
I believe Biz Markie covered that.
Oh, baby. You got what I need.
I'd play his version, but you guys sing just as well.
You say he's just a friend. and you say he's just a friend.
Oh, baby, you.
Oh, sorry, kitty.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, listeners.
The cat is under the table.
Yeah, that frightened Hep. Yeah. To be fair, though, my neighbor knocked on the door the other day, and the two cats just ran scrambling into the other room and under the bed as though Satan had showed up at the door.
Wow.
Just from some knocks. And that was when I was here. So,
is your neighbor nice?
I hadn't even opened the door. It was just a light knock on the door. It was one of my neighbors because the dome light on my car was on.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, good they're job, home neighbor. A lot more than you are. Maybe they know something about your neighbors that you don't know.
Kitty has claimed your bag,
and, yeah,
BT-dubs.
I'm
Kitty
cool
is
with that.
Fully occupying bag.
I'm totally cool with that.
Bag. Like it's Wall Street.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that there's been a lot of talk about over the past week or so is global inequality and about how the 85 richest people in the world have the same net worth as a huge percentage of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what it is. But we found somebody who thinks that's great. And he was on CBC in Canada.
Quickly, which is the combined wealth, this is according to Oxfam, of the world's 85 richest people is equal to the 3.5 billion poorest people.
It's fantastic. And this is a great thing because it inspires everybody,
what?
Gets the motivation to look up to the
that's
1%
that guy from Shop
and say, I want to become one of those people. I'm going to fight hard to get up to the top. This is fantastic news. And of course, I applaud it.
That's
that guy
doctor.
From Shark Tank.
His name is Kevin O'Leary.
Yeah, he's a shark on Shark Tank. What? Nobody watched that
is
show?
He? He's
yeah. He's a dick
like,
on that show, too.
I
think
like
it may be his persona that helps him to get booked on these shows.
I feel like that's a standard talking point, though, for
fantastic.
Like the whole like people who have an unequal amount of wealth motivate us all, and that's what makes America great. Like, I've heard that
right.
a number
of
times.
Those
from
carrots
like,
and letting us know that we, too, if we work hard, can catch up to them because of all the opportunities they provide. Wait, that does not
and
a thing.
Hoard the world's riches and not share them with people
exactly.
in need.
Exactly.
Just yeah. like they do.
Cut wages and hire people overseas for your crappy customer
now,
service.
And pretend that even though we know that's factually impossible, like everybody could become the 85 richest most people, and then it'd be fine because surely we'd come up with a fleet of robots to pick the strawberries and take out the trash. I don't know.
And that's what makes America great.
Right.
Well, now you're thinking, well, this was in Canada. But you're thinking, don't just go America. This is the world's people, not just Americans. Don't be shitting on America just because we have rich people here. You think the host just let it go? Did she let it go?
Yes.
She's Canadian. She probably said she's sorry.
Well, sorry, eh?
I don't know.
Let's listen.
What can be wrong with this?
Really?
Yes, really.
So somebody living on
I celebrate
a
capitalism.
Dollar a day
you
in Africa is getting up in the morning and saying, I'm going to be Bill Gates.
That's the motivation
only
everybody
thing between
needs.
Me and
I'm
that
not
guy
against
is
charity.
Motivation. I just need to pull up my socks.
I am
oh,
not,
wait, don't, I don't have socks.
Look, don't tell me you want to redistribute wealth again. That's never going to happen.
All,
okay?
You know what? You take a simple stat like this, which is neither good nor bad. It's just a fact.
It's a celebratory stat. I'm very excited about it. I'm wonderful to see it happen.
You're wonderful.
I tell kids
you know
every
the,
day, if you.
I'm just gonna,
what's wrong?
Comes
with this.
Up at a cocktail party.
No, Amanda,
one
what's wrong with this statement?
One possible response
if you
to it,
work hard, you might be stinking rich.
We're talking
one day.
About people in extreme abject poverty. That's how you get 3.5
no,
billion.
No, we're not. You were just talking about really
category.
Rich people.
No.
You are such a dick. I hate him.
But okay.
Iron Sheik, snap his neck.
I'm gonna invoke
approve.
The Bieber rule or whatever, or just the realistic booking rule is that
it's
this
working.
Guy plus most people who are employed by Fox News or MSNBC or an increasing number of shows on CNN.
Sure.
And probably most of Canadians' equivalents thereof. They get booked because they know they're going to reliably come on and make statements like that.
To make liberals
whether or not,
mad.
Which is probably worse than if he truly like believed it in his heart of hearts because he's willing just to say it. So he gets paid like an appearance fee.
He says it. He
but,
says it for money.
Right. Yeah. But I just
he's motivated.
Ugh.
By the way, Christiana.
Yeah.
What can be wrong with this?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Really?
I immediately thought of you.
Could, yeah.
What a slime ball.
So yeah, one of my friends shared that on you're Facebook too. So, all right.
Ted is quietly turning into a demon over there.
It makes me so... I was just thinking about that today. Like someone who has all this money and the interest they make from their stocks in a day, they could renovate an entire school and make it awesome and full of computers and just awesome teachers. But no, we need to motivate people to do that themselves and hoard all the fucking wealth. They have so much power. They could do such awesome things like Bill Gates at the Clinton Foundation. But no.
Yeah, Bill Gates eradicated polio in India. Now they've been polio-free for like a certain number of years, and it's like officially a polio-free country.
And it's going to change. I think it's changing. I think, you know, billionaires are saying they're going to bequeath more of the money after they're died of charity, but maybe start doing it in the lifetime and seed your, you know, sow your seeds of light and watch it grow and make the world a better place.
I think more of them are doing the lifetime.
Yeah.
The lifetime promise. I think Bill Gates does the lifetime foundation thing, right? He doesn't give it all away.
Yeah, Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation is fantastic.
I think it's the bigger...
Sorry, guys.
Why? Now Ted's just ripping up the studio.
Ah.
Just throwing chairs, Geraldo Rivera show style.
That's true.
Luckily, they're very tiny foldable chairs from IKEA.
Yeah.
So.
I think the bigger problem, I mean, yeah, the 85 richest people, it's a problem, whatever. But it, I don't know, to me, the bigger, like, first of all, I don't know how you fix this policy-wise, but the bigger ill here is just the whatever percent strata of America that believes that... I don't know. It's legit to buy, and I'm going to offend friends of mine who may or may not listen to the show, but who believe it's a good use of money to buy Lululemon stuff or Louis Vuitton handbags or whatever. And I am in no way not part of this club. Like, I may not buy those things, but I waste a shit ton of money on other stuff that I don't need. But our entire economy and culture is based on like consumerism,
right?
And we could lift a lot of people out of bad situations. Maybe we couldn't like outfit an entire school or whatever, but we probably could help house and feed people if we found some other way to legitimize other than the keeping up with the Joneses thing. Like if everybody was comfortable driving a Kia and not a Mercedes-Benz, and you know what I mean? We don't need a bunch of that shit, but you can't legislate that. That just has to,
well, and
that just has some, there needs to be some kind of cultural moral shift.
And yes, there's no reason that people can't have nice things or luxurious things, but
this is why we can't have nice things.
Right, but there's a difference between somebody who's making a couple hundred grand a year and is driving a Mercedes and a BMW and living in a nice house, and somebody who is in that 85 people that have that much wealth. I mean, that's like staggering wealth that no one, I mean, you can't even wrap your head around it.
No.
I know, but the top 1% starts far below the 85 people with the richest.
Oh, of course, of course.
Yes. You know, and there's a lot of things, but it's all on that train, right? You want to be Bill Gates, you'll probably, you know, you work really hard. Maybe you'll end up driving the Mercedes, but you don't need to drive a Mercedes. You know, you don't need to drive a new car. You don't need to do this, that, other thing. Again, I'm just as guilty of, I do not drive a Mercedes. I drive a 20-year-old pickup truck, but I waste a lot of money too. I'm not immune from society's ills.
And I think she made a really good point. He takes a statistic, which is just a statistic, and suddenly makes it about rooting for one side or the other. And not only that, but about rooting for the side that is okay with keeping that much of a disparity. And you're having the discussion, and she's like, we're talking about all of these people who have nothing. And he goes, no, we're talking about 85 rich people. So it's that whole sort of bullshit thing, but he's a dick.
Yeah.
Quit being a dick.
Even if he just went on TV, he may be a very nice person.
I doubt it.
He's doing dicky things for money.
Yeah, we just like to ignore his story, and like the narratives like to ignore that luck is responsible for a lot of most people's accomplishments. Like,
well, and there, even if you do work very hard, a lot of times luck is part of it.
Lucky to be born into I'm lucky I was born where I was and not without socks in an African country.
But you would be lucky because look at the 85 richest people and think one day I could be there. Sorry,
sure. Moving on to other people that you may or may not like, French President François Hollande could be about to ditch his actress lover. He is said to be rekindling his relationship with Valerie Trierweiler, his partner of 10 years. He has had a 2-year affair with Julie Gayette, who is 41. A friend of the president said, Valerie is determined to hang on to him. I know him. He is giving in to her.
How French.
Yep. She is said to be hoping to accompany the president on a state visit to Washington in February. Closer magazine said she is not ready to give up on her status as first lady. However, the Parisian newspaper Today claims the pair is set to split, quoting members of the president's entourage. They claim he has told her the relationship is over and she accepts the situation but is leaving the announcement of the split to the president. The Elysee Palace said false rumors have been circulating and said no announcement would be made. It is claimed that Mrs. Trierweiler smashed up the president's office in a fit of jealous rage after finding about Hollande's affair, causing 2.5 million euros worth of damage.
She did it with a large baguette.
And allegedly attacking him. The 48-year-old allegedly shattered national treasures, including a Louis XVI vase. A spokeswoman.
I believe it's a vase.
Well, yeah, anyway. That's why we can't have nice things.
because the president is cheating on the first lady with an actress again.
By the way,
the first girlfriend.
By the way, the first lady, not his wife. Not married to her. They just have kids.
It's very French.
It is. It was detailed on The Daily Show. It's... those crazy French. Sad news. Michael Schumacher may remain in permanent vegetative state for the rest of his life.
You're kidding.
No, that's...
Oh, my God.
What it just in.
Michael Schumacher, former Formula One champion, was in a skiing accident a few weeks ago, and he was wearing a helmet, and he hit his head on a rock, and he has been in a coma ever since.
God. A guy who does that much death-defying shit all the time and gets taken out in a ski accident.
Yep. Just like Sonny Bono. Ski accident.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he had his... I mean, he wasn't a Formula One driver, so it's, like, less ironic.
Yeah, but only one of them had sex with Cher.
That you know of.
It's true.
That's shitty, though. That is.
It's a
big deal.
Yeah, I hate to pass along bad news, but that caught my eye. Here's something to buoy your spirits. The king of beers, Budweiser, is backing down after a Missoula, Montana brewer's lawsuit. Dateline St. Louis... Anheuser-Busch has removed the Hold My Beer and Watch This videos from its Bud Light YouTube page. I have to answer questions to get the rest of this thing. What is your age?
What kind of questions?
I'll deal with this. Okay. Big Sky Brewing of Missoula, Montana sued Anheuser-Busch in December, saying it had a trademark for the phrase, Hold My Beer and Watch This, and has used the slogan since 2004. Big Sky dropped the suit last Wednesday in exchange for Anheuser-Busch removing the videos. There was no financial settlement. Yep.
Hold out for money. No, I'm just kidding.
The three videos were created by actor John Krasinski, best known as Jim Halpert on The Office, and his business partner Danny Stessen. They depict strange things that could happen after asking someone to hold your beer. And one, a grandmother celebrating her 100th birthday, feigns death after asking a young man to hold her beer. Then she and a friend high five and laughed after the man and his friends leave. The videos, which debuted in December, were popular. They had several million views before being taken down. We may revisit the concept. We stand by our original statement that there was no trademark use on the phrase, hold my beer and watch this, nor was there any intent to create any association with Big Sky. Now, Neil Leathers, who's the founder of Big Sky Brewery and the company president, said the point of the settlement was to assure that neither Anheuser-Busch nor any other brewer used the slogan. Quote, we've always thought that we were on very firm legal ground here, but the last thing you need is a lawsuit dragging on and taking us away from brewing beer. So
think of the lawyers.
Yeah. Christiana, what about the lawyers on this one?
Yay for them. They get to be employed and bill a lot of hours. Yeah. Sorry, was that not the kind of input you were looking for?
Whatever.
I don't know.
They back down. The lawsuit's over.
Yeah.
Now they're out of work. How are they going to feed their kids?
I like the fact that they stood up to Budweiser and said, hey, take down your videos. And then Budweiser did. And they went, all right.
Thanks. Yeah. Power to them.
You know,
sometimes some lawyers really do just aim to find a speedy and cost-effective solution for their clients.
Sure. But
it doesn't happen all the time.
But there's no money.
There probably was beer in it.
Okay.
Oh, well,
that's a good motivator.
Maybe there's secret money.
Moose Drool beer is in fact good stuff.
It is.
The Nate Darling Show.
Hey.
Cool.
Or Tool.
Whoa. All right, first up in Cool or Tool, we'll go quickly. The 1%, Ted.
Until trickle down and economics starts working, Tool.
Becca.
Tool.
Christiana.
Tool.
If I have to choose one or the other, I will go Tool as well. Up next in Cool
or
Tool. If I must. It is Cool or Tool.
Uh-huh.
Up next in Cool or Tool, the French. Becca.
Cool.
Christiana.
The French. I married an Englishman, so I have to say Tool.
Okay.
Which is bullshit because the English people use French words for all kinds of stuff and they're just full of shit, but Tool.
The English people are full of shit. This is what I've taken away. Ted, what do you think?
Aside from the guy couldn't stand the fact they didn't know French and went to Paris, everyone was nice there, so they're cool. Go French.
Half of me says the French are cool. The other half of me has no use for them. But anyway, so cool. And as a Scotsman, I must say, you're right. The English are full of crap. Anyway, and finally in cooler tool, Montana. Christiana?
Montana's awesome. Cool.
Becca?
Cool.
Ted?
I want to visit there because it sounds cool.
Montana's cool. That's where Ted Turner lives, and he's a dick.
Oh, yeah. Screw you, Montana.
Yeah, you're screw you.
1% harboring.
It's his fault we have 24-hour news stuff.
It is.
It's his fault that WCW lost to WWE. Am I right?
It is.
He threw money at you. Know what he's doing.
Yep.
Oh, you're not a wrestling promoter, dude.
Good money after bad is what happened with that one.
Turner.
We got through that. Yeah, and also they've got bears that kill people.
Oh, we have them here, too.
And militia men who are starting their own country.
Well, there's that. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Militia men starting
their
own
country. Big sky there, right?
Whatever. You want to change your answer?
No, I've actually never been to Montana, and I'm sure that it's... I've heard that it's very beautiful, and I'd like to go, because I want to visit all 50 states.
And they've got some... the national parks in mind. I forget which national parks there, but anyway, they've got national parks. All right. This is something you might enjoy. This is from thegoodmenproject.com. 12 stupid things that people care way too much about. Let's see if we... And this one I thought was interesting as someone who is studying religions, that you might be able to have a little bit of insight into this because it sort of feels like that sort of thing. So the first thing that we worry about way too much, whose fault it is?
Yeah.
Yep.
My profession is pretty much based on that concern, so I think that's legit.
celebrity and sports celebrity and sports gossip.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So there we go.
We wouldn't have a show without that.
Well, yeah, that's what we wouldn't have the internet without celebrity and sports gossip. We would, but it would just be porn. It would just be porn. Nothing but porn and cats.
Cat porn.
Cat porn. number three, sexual jealousy.
Sexual jealousy.
A lot of people get jealous and possessive in relationships. They don't like their partner talking with someone else or hanging out with members of the opposite sex without them. Some people get even crazier. They get jealous about things that happened before they met their partner.
They get jealous
about things that might happen in the future. The hell, they get jealous about things that didn't even happen but could have happened. My favorite is getting mad at somebody for something that you saw in your dream. Which has happened to me. Someone got mad at me for something they dreamed about.
Oh boy.
Something they dreamed about?
Yes.
It wasn't even your dream?
It was something I did in a dream.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Because I could see if maybe, I mean, you're not really responsible for your dreams, but it's like, oh, you're constantly having, you know, sexy dreams about someone that's not your partner and you're telling your partner. I could see them getting annoyed or something.
Well, that's just stupid.
But yeah. Having someone get mad at you for their dream.
Honey, I've been having sex dreams about this person that I find way hotter than you.
Why are you so mad?
Number four, being right. Do we waste too much time on worrying about being right?
Yes. I don't worry about it. I'm confident about it.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you. Christiana and I are finding a lot of common ground on this one.
You're both wrong.
Number five, national politics.
Local politics are probably more important. Because I don't know. I know a lot more about trivial stuff going on nationally than stuff happening in my own hometown, which is probably bad form on my part.
The number six thing that people worry too much about, trying to impress other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people do. Number seven isn't there. I don't know why. Okay, now I'm mad.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. there is no number seven. It goes from six to eight. I didn't notice this until now.
Because you didn't read nine.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Well played.
Son of a bitch. Number eight, being offended.
How dare you?
Yes, yeah. That's true. Yeah, someone says something, you don't like the words they chose, even though the sentiment wasn't quite...
Would
Facebook exist if people didn't get offended over nothing?
Nope.
Yes, and it would be nice.
It would be nothing but cat pictures.
And porn. Oh, wait, no.
And Candy Crush.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Number nine is the fact that I skipped number seven on the list.
Get over it.
Number 10, buying a bunch of nice stuff.
From Amazon? You should do that.
Yeah, you should.
Don't worry about it. Just do it.
Through NateDarlingShow.com. Another thing that people worry too much about, waiting in line for 36 hours to buy some new product the day it's released. People who buy Apple stuff and video game consoles, I guess.
What else? What do people wait in line for besides those things? And sales,
that's pretty much it.
A new product. Yeah, it's Apple stuff.
Yeah, it's Apple stuff and video games. Video games is pretty much it. Or Black Friday stuff.
Yeah.
The example here is go home. The iPhone 5 will still be there tomorrow.
Or movies. Certain movies people wait that long to go see too.
And the last one on the list, hiding your flaws.
Oh.
Yep.
People worry too much about hiding your flaws. People fall in love with each other. Sorry, Ted. Go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just hanging out.
It said people fall in love with each other's rough edges. Paradoxically, it's our flaws and vulnerabilities that make us unique and endearing toward others. The more we're willing to reveal where we come up short, the more intimacy and connection we'll generate in our personal lives, and the happier and healthier we'll be in the long run, and the better podcast we'll have.
I just don't think that's true.
Not even looking at them as flaws is probably... I mean, it's about how you perceive yourself, I think, is important. I mean, you don't think it's true, honey?
No, I don't think that our flaws and shortcomings are what endear people to us. I think that they endure them...
Well,
because we're nice otherwise, but I mean, I think the worst things about myself are things that I should try to minimize as much as possible.
I think some things one might perceive as being a flaw in themselves, others may. I guess it can go either way. I don't think it's an either or in this particular situation.
I think a lot of people have this idea that their flaws are a huge thing because they see them as a huge thing, but other people barely notice them. You know, because you are your own worst critic. I don't care who you are. You're your own worst critic. Unless your worst critic is Rush Limbaugh. And then he's probably your worst critic.
God, that'd be awful.
If you're President Obama, you're probably not your own worst critic. I'm just saying. Of all people, Mike Tyson recently said, just because you're famous doesn't mean you're successful.
It's true.
It is true.
Kardashians.
Oh, my
Paris
God.
Hilton.
Oh, my God. I have to tell you about Keeping Up with the Kardashians this week. Because I'll keep it brief.
No, I'm sorry. I'm that was rude of me.
No, it's
no,
fine.
No, tell us.
It's fine. So Kris Kardashian, who is the matriarch of the family, all of a sudden she goes to New York, she goes to a Broadway show, and she then dramatically declares, I want to be in a Broadway show. And I want to be in Chicago.
Oh, geez,
Louise. Then, they will put anyone in that show, however.
They did do Wendy Williams. But so then she's like, she hires this singing and dancing coach, and she's terrible, by the way. And so she hires a singing and dancing coach, and she's like, I've been working very hard at this for 2 weeks. And so she's singing All That Jazz, just a little bit of All That Jazz, incredibly badly. And she's like, and Kim laughed at me and blah, 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 blah. And by the way, Bruce Jenner's ponytail is more disturbing than his plastic surgery. I know I'm all over the place with this, but that's an aside. He has a ponytail now. It's disturbing. So smash cut through, and she's like talking about. So she puts in a phone call to her friend, Kathy Lee Gifford, for advice on this whole thing.
As you do.
As one would do, because Kathy Lee has been on Broadway. And Kathy Lee
can... If they could see me now. Sorry.
It's okay. That was actually a pretty good Kathy Lee. She then advised her, by the way, these people do all of this stuff. It's so much work. That's their whole lives. That's all they do. We were doing 8 and 9 shows a week, and you just probably don't have time for that.
Ah.
So then she determined that, and this is a quote, while I don't have, now is not the right time for me to do Broadway.
Oh,
there will be a right time, and I will be ready for it. Fuck you!
Wait, what is
you
she?
You don't just get to decide that, I'm going to go ahead and be on Broadway. That's fine if you're 6 and you go, you know what? I want to be on Broadway. And you sing and you dance like an asshole around because you're 6. It's okay. That's what 6-year-olds do. But when you are a 50-something-year-old woman, no. And a fie on the house of anybody who puts that harpy on Broadway. That's right. I've just called out Broadway and put them on notice.
Wow.
Somebody would totally stunt cast her in a show. At least for one night to be in her reality show.
Make some money. Ah, entitlement.
So bad.
1%,
anyway.
Bitches.
So bad. So
speaking of which,
bad.
Can we just, this is related in my head, and I hope that it is in yours, but
sure.
I need to check with Christiana for a second, because we started watching Veronica Mars last night.
Ooh.
So good.
And nobody told us that Paris Hilton is in this show. How
for
long is she in the show?
Episode.
No, it's been 2. It's been
she
2
must be
already.
Gone now. They ousted her at the end.
Okay, because we've watched 3 episodes and she was in 2 of them.
Yeah, sorry. She's not.
Okay.
She's not really in the
That's
show.
A good show.
Nate,
the tip.
It's
Nate,
good,
it's
right?
Like,
yeah.
It's like every time, she's not playing herself, she's playing a character, but every time she has a little bit part to say, it's like, it's almost like she's in different lighting. Like she's all shiny and she always has her hand on her hip and she's just sort of like, I'm going to class. And you're just like, what? It's like everything just stops and it's like, here's Paris Hilton. And other than that, it's an amazing show. It's really good.
I thought that Caster's a high school student. I just don't see that working convincingly. Ever.
Well, she was in high school.
It was
once.
The beginning of the series, and I think they were trying to, you know, not get canceled.
Get people
right
to
away.
Look at it. So,
yeah. It's fine though.
It's a really good show.
It shouldn't
yeah.
distract for. It shouldn't. It will not take away anything.
No, no.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
enjoying it immensely.
I promise.
Veronica
it's just
Mars,
funny.
Y'all.
It's like, you know, 30 seconds total out of the first, you know, the episodes 2 and 3 yeah. that you're just kind of like, wait, why is this happening? Because the rest of the show is really good, and what is this? So, okay, it's going to stop.
Aside from her acting, everything that happens with her in the show is
interesting.
I mean, good.
Yeah. Agreed.
So.
That's nice. This was it this past weekend? I got into a pointless Twitter fight with comedian Christopher Titus.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Like personally with Christopher Titus?
Yes. Yeah, it was awesome.
That's kind of fancy.
It was awesome because he tweeted out something like, I forget the exact tweet. It was like, two things are absolutes in life, something, 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 and peanut M&Ms are the best.
No, they're not.
And so I tweeted back at him. Well. I tweeted back, you're completely wrong. Peanut butter M&Ms
yes,
are the best.
Obviously.
Peanut butter M&Ms are fantastic. Yeah,
they're the best
But they're
thing
harder to find. So, I mean, a close runner-up would be. Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, Amazon.com? I don't know.
And then I hashtagged it pointless Twitter fight.
Oh, it's on.
And so he then came back with some. Let me see if I can find it really
Ooh.
Quickly here.
This is fancy. He's like, I'm like, I've heard his CD. He's famous. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I
think he used to have a TV show that I didn't watch.
I have it all on DVD. It's fantastic. I love Titus. I've seen him live a bunch of times. And
oh, then this is even more exciting for you.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, I can't find it now. Here we go.
She's only credited with one episode. It was really important for me to look that up right now.
Okay.
To jump back, but I'll go for it.
Oh, okay.
All right. So here it is. Oh, damn it. I lost it.
This never happened.
Thank you, Christiana. So we're not going to give up. It's on Amazon now. You can watch all of Veronica
Amazon
Mars.
Amazon Prime, which I got and signed up for and now keeping accidentally, but I'm happy I have it.
All right. So he tweeted peanut butter M&Ms. Oh, okay. Sorry. Let me go up a little bit here. I promise. It's a good pod.
The drama.
The only thing that will never change is the certainty that it will all change and that peanut M&Ms are the best.
M&Ms are the best candy?
He just says the best.
Okay.
And I replied, at Titus Nation, peanut butter M&Ms are the best. Hashtag pointless Twitter fight.
Oh, it's on.
To which he replied, peanut butter M&Ms are better than OG peanut, or peanut butter M&Ms are better than OG peanut M&Ms. You are a serial killer communist with hygiene issues. Hashtag pointless Twitter fight.
Oh, it makes a good point.
And then I reply, I spit on you and your old man M&Ms. I bet your prostate gives you issues. Hashtag pointless Twitter fight. And then he comes back with, my prostate is healthy and smooth and the size of an OG peanut M&M because I am sexually active, freak.
Oh.
And then I finished it by saying, this has been a delight. Enjoy scenic Toledo, because I looked up online and he was in Toledo, Ohio.
Well done.
So Twitter can be used for good, everybody. You don't just have to be a dick with somebody just because. And because I know anybody who's famous on Twitter gets into a bunch of fights with people who are just dicks. And that was just kind of a fun little back and forth, and I thought I would share that. So Christopher Titus, he's, I believe, crowdfunding a movie project he's trying to do now. So, and if he's coming to your town, go see him, because he's funny, and he's a good dude. All right, so the show's running long. We're going to wrap this up here with the... Let's just...
Can I ask a quick question that
yes,
I made a
may.
Note
of
to
course.
Myself to ask and I forgot about? And I
yes.
should have asked it in our previous episode when you were talking about how you had the plumber over.
Oh.
And I don't know if this is outing, like... personal life issues or like decisions, but you guys, Becca had this great post on Facebook about all the steps you're taking to save water, because we have no water and we're all gonna die in Sacramento and there won't be produce for the rest of the world because the water's all gone,
but we won't be flooded.
Yay. My property values just went up.
But
you said that you just began using your dishwasher.
Yeah.
What did you do before?
Well, hand
wash.
We
didn't wash any dishes.
Did you just not generate that many dishes?
No, we just hand washed dishes.
Why wouldn't you use the dishwasher though?
Well, when I first knew Ted, his dishwasher was kind of on the blink. Like it was just, it, I don't know, it was not washing very well.
Uh-huh.
And so he had someone over to fix it. And it, I don't know, I was suspicious of it. So when I moved in, I just started hand washing everything. So we've just been hand washing everything all this time, even though technically it had been repaired. And then we were like, oh, for the drought, we really should start using our dishwasher. So let's see how it goes. And so far, it's been going okay for the most part. It's like, it's old. You have to rinse stuff. And then you're like, well, if I'm rinsing it before I put it in the dishwasher, is that really saving water? Should I just be hand washing it? I don't know. That's not a very interesting topic, but
no, I don't know. It just seems, I mean,
but we did other really cool stuff. Like, we had a plumber over and we got our leaks fixed, and we put 2 liter bottles of water in the back of our toilet tanks, so we have like low flow toilets now. And what else are we doing? We're mulching our yard.
We have a bucket in our shower to collect water from our shower runoff, right?
Yeah, to water my poor garden that's like barely alive anymore because it's not raining.
I was confused by that. What do you mean by shower runoff?
Well, like, you know, you get in the shower and you're like, oh, it takes a minute for the water to get hot or whatever. You know, you just kind of have your bucket. And it's not like I'm like putting all my soap scum into the bucket or anything, but it just sort of collects
toward the back
bit.
Of the water. And then I filled a bucket today and I watered stuff. Filled up today. It was filled up today. No, yeah. Whatever. It's a little thing.
I was just curious what that meant.
Yeah. You know,
not
it
an
just
indictment.
Stands in the back of the shower and collects a little bit of extra water.
Yeah. It's a little thing.
But originally the reason we got the bucket was because we had a crazy leak in our bathtub that our friends were going to fix for free 3 weeks from now. And then the water police knocked on our door and were like, if you don't get this fixed like right away,
we'll
fines and trouble city. It was like, you have 7 days. So we were like, goodbye, free plumbing. Hello, paid plumber.
Yeah. Was it really like code enforcement?
It was the South Sacramento Water District. Wow.
Yeah, they read our meter and they were like, and it turned out we also had a leak in one of our toilets that we didn't know about. But they were like, your meter is crazy. And we were like, oh, shit.
They gave us a free flapper to put in our toilet. Which is pretty fantastic.
Woman from the 20s.
Yeah. It was
amazing.
Because they were like, you probably have a toilet leak judging by your meter. And they handed us like all this stuff like to test the toilet and fix the toilet. And we were like, we don't know what to do with this. And we just put it on the table and we called the plumber. And he walked in and he was like, oh, was that for the toilet? And he just like installed it. And we were like, wow. It was amazing. It all happened within the span of like an hour.
Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah, I got the plumber gauze were good to me.
Can I just say how happy I am the Tutty Bowl man now has a flapper so he doesn't have to live that solitary existence anymore.
I know, just hanging out with the scrubbing bubbles.
Look out for Mr. Clean.
There's some old-timey references. So. Anyway.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Well, this is sort of small town news because the article I had died. It was from Montana about stuff. So
it was too small.
Tool, Montana. Tool.
You Tool.
This is from Amarillo, Texas, which is not that small of a town.
I've been there.
It shows up on Cops a lot. Federal authorities have charged a Lufkin man with drug trafficking because on I-40 there was a traffic stop that uncovered 42 pounds of methamphetamine valued at $2 million.
42 pounds at $2 million.
Yep.
Well, I'm in the wrong business.
Eduardo Enriquez was charged with possession with intent to distribute more than 500 grams of meth. Deputies stopped the gray 2004 Chevy Tahoe in Potter County for following too closely to another vehicle. By the way, here's a tip from me to you. If you're hauling 42 pounds of meth, don't tailgate. Dullard. Yeah, so
I know you should be the best driver in the world if you have $2 million worth of drugs on you.
Yeah, and not like the slightly buzzed driver who's going 40 on the highway and being all paranoid. You just follow the flow of traffic.
Be cool, man.
Some other big headlines from Amarillo. Another big box retailer coming to Amarillo?
No.
Yeah, so that's why this qualifies as small town news.
That's just hippie liberal news. That'd be news here, too.
It'd be news in Davis.
It'd be news everywhere.
Right.
But this is from the Amarillo Globe News. Amarillo.com.
Globe. It's worldly.
Amarillo Globe, Globe-news.
It means yellow. I don't know. That's all I got.
What? It's 10 degrees in Amarillo?
That's
holy
cold.
Crap.
It's cold everywhere,
it's a
polar
vortex.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Supposed to rain. Maybe it rained here.
Today.
Yesterday or today.
We'll have had rain?
Yes.
Thursday. There's a rumor. Oh, yesterday. I get it. What day is it?
Oh,
it's
time.
Friday.
Time, you are crazy.
If only we had a ticker clock.
Why?
Let us know how much rain we're missing as we die.
So anyway, that's small town news for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Hey, thanks for joining us this week.
Yeah, yay! Thanks. A round of applause for you.
Thank you so much for downloading the show. New podcast, on-demand radio show, The Well Hung Podcast, debuts Monday. When you roll out of the rack, hit refresh on your iTunes. There'll be a show for you. The delightful lesbian Asian girl and me talking about whatever. Lesbian.
I'm pretty sure she prefers that.
You could have gone to Clam Jumper together.
Beige.
Clam Jumper?
Clam Jouster.
Clam Jumper?
Clam Jouster.
Clam Jousting, yes.
Clam Jouster. Callback.
I remember that show.
Yeah. It's true.
I was on it.
I know. It's crazy how that works. I remember most of the ones I was on.
Oh, really?
I don't. There, people will come up to me and go, oh, when you said that, I'm like, what?
Thank you.
I said something?
Sure,
I go, you do realize that we go about 2.5 hours between the two shows every week, and we do two shows every week, and I just talk a lot out of my ass.
It's amazing. It's like a queef. But
like a deer in the woods.
Like a deer in the woods is the podcast.
Or a queef on a bus.
I think we found our new intro.
Mm.
Pull my antler.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. I will see you Monday on the Well Hung Podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with a new show. Until then, some music from a band called Real Estate. It's Talking Backwards on the Nate Darling Show.
You're